Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast.
Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England. I'm your host, Amelia, and this week I'm joined in studio by the wonderful, beautiful Jamie Day. Jamie, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me again.
You are so welcome. So today we are doing something a little different. Jamie is awesome because so far she has gone on a on-site visit with us. We went to Denver State. She has been interviewed as a medium and done an awesome, amazing mediumship reading for me, which was incredible.
Thank you.
And now, you're welcome. And now she is going to be here in studio with us in beautiful, sunny Somerville.
Sunny.
Right? On like the so rainiest day. To talk about haunted hotels all over New England. So this should be very interesting and very fun.
Ooh.
Yeah, woo!
I love a good haunting.
So before we get to that, I have a very quick corrections corner. I messed up. Well, me, Mike, and Lauren all messed up. So this correction comes from our episode on Route 44, and it is that we said Route 44 was like a highway. We were thinking it was like 95, you know. That turns out not totally true. You see, because since we've never actually been to Rehoboth, we didn't really know. And I was getting confused with Route 4 because I know that kind of goes down that way. So I thought it was. So it's still a highway, but it's like a little more like a scenic highway. Like think like a Route 3A type of deal. That's our correction. That's all I got. But I do have another note that we're going to go over at the end of the episode, a little teaser to get you to listen all the way through. Last week, we did the Fairbanks house, and Barry Corbett reached out to me, and he sent me an EVP that Boston Paranormal Investigators got, and we're going to play that at the end of the episode. And I'm so excited because I haven't even listened to it yet. It should be great.
I'm excited to hear it too. That's fun.
Okay, so now it's time for our haunted hotels. Jamie, you ever stayed in a haunted hotel before?
Not that I can think of off of the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't think I really have either. I've investigated them. I investigated, so Beth and I one time, we went with BPI and we did the Wayside Inn, which I believe is in Sudbury. It's very haunted though. And they actually got a ton of footage the night we were there. We got video of someone playing with the door handle.
Oh my gosh.
And you can see it moving. It's like videoed from like both sides or something. Like there, you knew no one else was really touching
That's
the door.
Crazy.
It was really cool. And it's cool too, because for some reason at this inn we were at, people who stay there write notes and then they like stick it in the ceiling and like all like the cracks.
Oh my gosh.
Cause it's one of those inns from like the 1700s. You know what I mean? It has like all the knotted wood.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was interesting.
Okay. I've lived with several ghosts, but I've never stayed in a haunted hotel.
Yeah.
Just my own apartment.
That's fair.
Yeah. I don't know which is worse.
Oh, yeah. I don't know either. It's hard. When I lived in Roslindale, I had a ghost, but it was like, I never saw it. It was never really around. But this one time I went back from a scary movie and I was like there with my boyfriend and I was like, I'm just feeling a little freaked out. I said something like that. And I like hit the light switch and like all the lights in the apartment.
Oh my God. Like, so it's a friendly ghost.
It was like a funny ghost.
That's funny.
And this other time, like this person came over and we were sitting in my living room and he was like, yeah, I don't know if I believe in ghosts, like blah, blah, blah. And he was like, I just like would love some proof. And all of a sudden all the lights in my living room
went
out.
Oh my God.
And I like screamed and I was like, we're going to the bar.
There's your proof. I'm out.
There's a bar up the street. It's like, I don't know.
My downtown Salem apartment was like super haunted. And we used to call him the friendly ghost because he never really did anything like mean. I had a roommate at the time and we always used to get in arguments because like all the kitchen cabinets would be open or like the front door would be open and he thought I did it and I thought he did it. And then he moved out and it continued to happen when I lived alone.
Whoops.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. It's cool.
It didn't bother me. I would like talk to it. But one night I did. I was sitting in my bed and I felt the bed kind of shake, and I had just gotten a cat. So I thought it was the cat. So I turned to like pat the cat, and instead I watched my pillow indent. That freaked me out. I was like, get out of my room.
Yeah.
No, I don't mind, but you can't be in my bed. Beat it.
Yeah. Well, when we did the Angels bonus episode, we had a story like that on there where like someone said she like saw the indent of someone on her bed and she was like really happy. And I was like, I would not have been okay with that.
No, that did not make me happy. No. I slept on the couch.
Yeah. I would not be cool with that at all. Okay. So on to these haunted hotels, or I guess technically I did two inns. You have a hotel though.
I do have a hotel.
I don't really know the difference between an inn and a hotel.
I don't either. Maybe size.
I don't know, because the second one had 52 rooms.
Well, that's pretty big.
That's pretty big. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Whatever. You know, write in, tell us. Okay. So this first one is the Captain Fairfield Inn. The Captain Fairfield Inn of Kennebunkport, Maine, overlooks the Kennebunkport Green River on the corner of Pleasant and Green Street. Captain James Fairfield built his federal-style mansion in 1813 to 1815 after he had been released from the British imprisonment at the Detmore Prison during the War of 1812. The land was a wedding present to James Fairfield and his bride, Louise, from his father-in-law.
That's a nice present.
That's a really nice present.
I did not get that for my wedding.
Really good one. When Captain Fairfield first built the house, he invited his brother-in-law, Joseph Lord, also a sea captain, and his sister, Polly Lord, to share the home with them. Both men were at sea for long periods of time, and their wives found comfort in each other's company. Fairfield and his wife, Lois, and his family enjoyed living there together for 5 years until he died of pneumonia on July 23rd, 1820. Sad.
Yeah, in the home, I bet, because that's what you did back then.
Yeah. 2 years after his death, Tobias Lord, who I'm not 100% sure on this, I believe it was Polly and Joseph's son. But I'm not 100% on that. It could have been like another brother of something. I don't know. But Tobias Lord found a portrait of Captain Fairfield aboard a Swedish ship. There is some speculation that the ghost is somehow attached to this painting.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah.
That gives me the chills.
But at the very least, this painting is how people know it's him when he shows up.
Oh.
It's the only portrait. After being a private residence for many years, it became a bed and breakfast inn in 1991 and made a name for itself as being a romantic getaway for couples and newlyweds. The inn provides a wonderful getaway for those romantic special occasions, weddings, honeymoons, anniversaries, or any other time when romance is in the air. There's nothing more romantic than a ghost.
Yeah.
Showing on up.
Interrupting your honeymoon.
I mean, like, people like me or you, we'd probably be into that.
I'd totally be into it.
Like, the average person.
That would make it memorable, if nothing else.
Sure would. Yeah. Sure would. So, the federal-style mansion has a basement, 2 stories, an attic. It offers 9 very guest-friendly rooms. Many of the spacious air-conditioned rooms even have fireplaces in them and are decorated with antique and period furniture. So, like, as much as it's changed, it hasn't changed, like, all that much.
Yeah.
They keep it kind of the same. There are lots of gardens there, as well as a scenic view of Green River and glimpses of the harbor below. Warm hospitality of the innkeepers and the delicious 4-course breakfast given to guests also bring rave reviews from guests and also pleases the entity who stays at the mansion, too.
Wait. So, like, he likes the breakfast?
I guess. I loved how they wrote that. I felt the same way. I was like,
that would please me.
I like a good breakfast. No one likes breakfast more than I do. So, when restorations of the mansion began to make it into an inn, an entity all of a sudden showed up. And it was seen floating in the dark corner of a basement. It was seen by a couple different people, but it doesn't really, I couldn't find anywhere it mentioned who saw it. But I know a lot of people saw it. He was floating in the corner of the basement and everyone was like, what's that? And then they saw the giant painting of the guy over the fireplace and they're like, Oh, it's him. Oh, it's that guy. So I found it really interesting that he didn't really show up until 1991.
Maybe like disturbing the, you know, like redoing the hotel.
I guess.
Brought him out.
I mean, I thought that was really strange because it's not like he died there. No.
Yeah, he did, though, if he had pneumonia.
Yeah, but I meant to say it's not like he's buried there.
Right.
But I don't know. Who knows?
Why are so many ghosts sea captains? Why is that such a thing? That's like a popular theme.
It is a popular theme. And I think it's because they're kind of like disturbed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. A lot of people on the sea are sea people.
Yeah. Yeah. And have there's a hard like, time like back on land.
Absolutely. And there's like a lot of drinking involved for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So.
And I think going away for long periods of time and like yeah. Need you to like maybe not find comfort in home, you know? Maybe that's part of it. Maybe
that could be part of it.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, because you're absolutely right. That is definitely a thing that.
There are sea captains in my story that I will share later.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. And this is not the first time sea captains have made it onto the show.
Right. Like, I mean, don't you watch Scooby-Doo? That's like a big thing.
You're right. Okay. So many guests have sensed and sometimes even seen the warm, cordial presence of Captain James Fairfield, who seems very pleased to be the unseen host of his beautifully renovated home. He seems tickled to have so many visitors staying there and loves what the living have done to fix up his beloved mansion.
Oh, that's cute. He likes it.
And how they treat the guests in the same manner he would have if he was still alive. That seems like speculation.
Yeah. I don't know that you can know that for sure. Although maybe I could. I'll go up there and see if I can. Maybe.
Yeah, right. You're a medium.
See if I can see any things.
So now to the portrait. The portrait is actually no longer in the home. It's been moved down the street to the Brick Store Museum, but a copy of the original portrait still hangs over the fireplace. So.
I wonder why they moved it. Too creepy.
I think just it's like so old. It's like a real historic thing. Yeah. So they wanted a museum.
I didn't want it ruined.
But it was weird because like some places I read he was like attached to it. But then I'm like, but they moved it. But then it's like, well, maybe he just likes looking at himself.
Maybe he's a vain sea captain. Right?
Like, I don't know. That could be it. Because we did one time about this like hospital that was torn down, but it was like rebuilt as an exact replica, and like the exact replica was haunted with like the original.
That's funny.
So I don't know.
Although, you know, I suppose if like we talked about Denver State Hospital, if the condos that are in there can be haunted and the only thing that still remains there is
that's
like
true.
The outer facade of the building.
Yeah.
You know,
that makes sense.
The land of places can carry a lot of weight, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that for sure. Anyway, that's all I got on this place. Fairfield Inn.
It sounds like a good place to go if you're like, interested in ghosts, but like light.
Yeah.
Like a light,
yeah,
fun, interesting right. ghost.
Like if you're.
It's a good beginner.
If like your haunt. Kids are interested in ghosts, yeah. but you're like, I don't know about this. Yeah. That could be a good spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Cause he sounds nice.
He's a cool guy. Yeah. He likes breakfast.
<It's> like, welcome to my house. Have a nice breakfast.
I just want to treat you well.
Yeah.
So for that story, I got a lot of information off of hauntsofamerica.com, hauntedhouses.com, and the Fairfield's very own website. That's all I got on that. All right. What do you got?
So I want to talk about the haunted Hawthorne Hotel in Salem.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Which is also – it's been in the news recently for being haunted, right?
Haunted. Yeah. So when I was like – I had heard that it was haunted, mm-hmm. and so I had said to you, like, we should go there sometime, yeah. and when you were talking about this, I said, we gotta do that.
Yes.
And when I was looking it up, if you go on Yelp, like, the top review is like, what the hell, my room was haunted. Yeah. It says the sixth floor is haunted, is what the review says.
That's
nice
awesome.
Time, bed was comfy, they only gave us one towel, but my room was haunted.
But ghosts kept me up all night.
Yeah, that's the review. And they even responded and were like, you're correct. If you had asked for more towels, we would have been happy to give them to you. Lots of customers praised the comfort of our beds. And yes, the hotel is haunted. Like, that's their response to the review. So the Hawthorne Hotel is in downtown Salem, and it's right by the Common, and it's right by the Witch Museum. And it's been, you know, if you aren't from the area, but like you know of Salem from TV or movies or whatever, it's been in tons of movies just in passing. There's been stuff that's been filmed there. Celebrities stay there when they film movies in town.
And if you're like there on Essex Street and you're going through all, like, the witch stores and you really have to pee,
they'll let you?
Kind of. You just have to, like, walk. You got to, like, walk in, like.
Like you know what you're doing.
Like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, right over to the right.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I can tell you my experience with the Hawthorne Hotel is that they have one of the best brunch buffets I've ever had, or at least they used to. We went on Mother's Day one year. Yeah. There was, like, an entire room dedicated to dessert.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Me too. It was great. But so they've been on TV. They've had lots of celebrities. They book, like, way in advance for October, like, way in advance. So it's a pretty cool place. I've been in there myself. I used to be a nanny, and I used to do gigs there for, like, weddings. Like, I would hang out in the room while they went down for the wedding or whatever. And I never experienced anything in the times that I've done that. But so the stories that people say – It was originally built in 1925, and it was named after the author of the book The House of Seven Gables and The Scarlet Letter, Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Yeah.
Who, you know, is a pretty local.
Yeah. BFD.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He's a BFD. And The House of Seven Gables is even supposedly haunted. Like, there is an actual, mm-hmm. his birthplace and his house that he lived in. They call it The House of Seven Gables after his book. And that is supposedly haunted too. So you should check that out sometime. I've seen stuff there myself.
Really?
Yes.
What have you seen?
A little girl.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was creepy. But so this place was built in 1925, and the land there was originally owned by Salem Maritime. So their agreement in order to be able to build the hotel there, like in order to sell them the land, was that they had to have a meeting room. Where they could have their meetings. And that room now is supposedly haunted by none other than the maritime captains.
Nice.
Of course. And there is a ship's wheel that's hanging up in there that will move on its own.
Cool.
And there's this story online that I saw. A staff was sent in there to set up the room. I think it was for a meeting, but was sent in there to get the room all ready. And he worked for a while and got it all set up and then left the room for like 30 seconds to go get something and said that he came back in and it was all completely undone the way that it had been before.
Oh, wow.
And this person apparently will no longer work the night shift.
Oh, wow.
As of the, you know, whenever whatever I saw was written, he still worked there but would not refused night shift duty. I probably would too.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard that the staff say that, like, the lobby furniture will move. They'll turn around and the furniture will be in, like, a different spot.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's
so creepy. The first floor, different sections of the first floor are supposedly haunted by these, like, sea captains. And I think, you know, that's where they used to meet and they used to drink and they used to chat and have meetings. And so they still just do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not, right? But then there are two rooms that legend has it are pretty haunted. So the sixth floor in general, I hear that people have seen a female ghost wearing like a long white dress just wandering up and down the hallways.
Lady in white action.
Yeah. Right.
There you go.
And room 612 in particular, they say that the lights and the faucets will turn on and off on their own. People, guests have reported like extreme cold all of a sudden, which I totally believe because even when I do a reading, I feel that sometimes.
Yeah.
And people have complained about someone touching them in their sleep.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's creepy.
I
would not like that.
No.
But I guess the biggest suspicion is the smell of apples that people get. I guess that room has a really, really strong smell of apples. And they think that it means that the ghost that haunts the room is Bridget Bishop, who was the very first person that was executed in the witch trials.
Ooh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
And because apparently that used to be her land, which was, guess what? An apple orchard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. But what I want to know is why room 612? Like, it wasn't built when it was an apple orchard. It was an apple orchard. Why would she choose to haunt this one room? But maybe she's the lady in white, just in general.
Maybe it was like a really big tree and she used to like climb
maybe there was something there in that spot.
Yeah. Cause like how at that time period, how would they have gotten up that high?
I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't
make- I don't know. A big tree. That's a big
right. That's
apple
what
tree.
I'm like, wow, that's yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's just the theory, probably just because people say they have smelled apples. Hmm. But I guess it used to be her property before Salem Maritime owned it, before she was murdered.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Maybe someone was like mucking around with a Ouija board in that room.
Maybe.
Could have been something like that.
Yeah.
Stirred someone up and then did something they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. And honestly, if you think about it, just Salem in general has so much history, even beyond the witch trials. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's one of the oldest cities that is.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was built as a trading port.
Yeah.
So tons of people came in and out there, which means you know that there was a lot of death by like violence or crime or even just illness because they didn't have the medical care back then that we do now. So I'm sure there's been a lot of death either in the building or on the property or surrounding it, you know.
For sure.
So the other room that they say has some haunted behavior to it is room 325. And so people have reported similar stuff there with like the faucets turning off and on and people touching them and extreme cold. But the difference in this room is that people talk about babies, either seeing apparitions of babies or toddlers. And the creepiest one is several people have reported being woken up by the sound of a baby screaming.
I hate that.
It's terrifying.
I hate that. I obviously read a lot of ghost stories.
Yeah.
And the idea of seeing like a ghost toddler coming at me.
Oh my God, I know.
That's like the scariest I've ever heard.
All I'm picturing is Pet Sematary.
It's
have you seen
that? Mortifying.
I'm going to play with you, mommy.
No, like, no thank
so
you.
So creepy. My whole life I've had – when I was a kid, it was like an adult man that calls my name like Jamie.
Yeah.
I think I told you that last time. But since I've had kids, I have a child that calls mama.
Ugh, I don't like that.
No, it freaks me out. I go running every single time. My husband's like, it's the ghost. It's not the baby. They're asleep.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
He always knows when I'm like, did you hear that? Are the kids? Can you press mute? Pause it. Pause the movie. He'll be like, it's not the kids.
It's just your ghost.
Yeah. It's just your ghost again.
Babe, it's just the ghost. Chill out.
Yeah. So the place has been investigated by like a few different paranormal investigators. So ghost hunters went to the Hawthorne Hotel.
Okay.
And they couldn't find any evidence like to film. They didn't catch any on film. Mm-hmm. But their assessment of it was not that it's not haunted. It was that the ghost just didn't want to perform for camera.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. That was their opinion on it. So.
Yeah. It's probably a pretty lame episode, but.
I know, right? But they said, I guess from what I read, they said that that happens a lot. Like the ghost just won't perk up when you're there trying to investigate.
I mean, that's if we all got ghosts every time we took out our phones, then.
Right. Right. Exactly.
These shows would be a lot different.
Yes.
A lot more specific.
But I want to go. I want to check it out.
Yeah. Hey, if you ever want to go,
let's do it.
I mean, how expensive is it? You think they'll have like a Groupon?
Oh, I bet they have Groupons. If you go off season.
That's what I mean.
It can't be that bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Who's staying at the Hawthorne Hotel in March?
Right. And is it like the Hawthorne Hotel hosts events and things as well? So as long as you don't do it like at a time that there's like a big fair or something.
Yeah.
You know?
You need like February on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Be really cheap.
I bet it would be. But we got to try and get in either 315 or 612. No, 325 or 612.
Yeah, we can do that. We can pull that off.
Okay.
We'll get into that room. Next week we have someone on the show from Salem.
Oh, really?
Oh my gosh. I totally forgot. We forgot to wish the listeners happy Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
I should have said that at the beginning of the show.
It really snuck up on me.
I know. This episode comes out the night before Thanksgiving.
I stopped at the store today and the guy that was bagging my groceries said, where's your turkey? And I was like, oh boy. I don't know. This is a problem.
Every single year, I have a tiny apartment, I don't host, but I like to cook and I always go the night before Thanksgiving. And every year I'm like, I can't believe how many people are here. Like, why would all these people wait? And I'm like, Amelia, why do you wait?
Right.
Like, okay. Anything else?
No, that's all I've got on the Hawthorne Hotel.
Cool. I like that. That's a cool hotel.
Yeah. And it's beautiful too.
It's gorgeous. Like really, it's really nice. And the inside of it's really nice.
Yeah. I mean, they try to keep it like, you know, historic and like classy.
Yeah.
And
it is classy.
Yeah.
It's not that, well, that's a good point. It's not like, I feel like a lot of places that try to keep things like historic or like with period pieces in it, like it's like creepy.
Yeah.
But this isn't like creepy, dingy.
It's lovely.
It's beautiful. It's really very, very nice.
Yeah. And it doesn't, in the times I've been in there, it doesn't have like a creepy, scary vibe. It's like nice and pretty and like light colored walls. You know, it's not like you don't walk in and feel creeped out.
No, it's beautiful. Until like you're asleep and all of a sudden like a ghost
toddler comes crying at you.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, well.
All right. So for the next haunted hotel, I have Yankee Peddler Inn. The Yankee Peddler Inn is a historic hotel located in Torrington, Connecticut. The inn, which now has 52 rooms, was built for its original owners, Frank and Alice Conley, in 1891. It was originally given a colonial New England architectural style. So it all started when Irishman Frank Conley married his wife, Alice, who was from New England. And in November 1980, they bought the land, and it was only 100 by 214 square feet on the corner lot of Main Street and Maiden Lane for $8,000.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Can you imagine being able to buy a full – well, I guess it was just a lot. That's not that – never mind. Scratch that.
No, it's honestly – it's still a pretty good price because I was looking at purchasing some land in, like, middle of nowhere this summer.
Yeah.
And, like, $8,000 for, like, a half acre in middle of frickin' nowhere is, like, still a really good deal.
Yeah.
It was a really good deal. Luckily, a lot of people talked me out of that very bad investment I really wanted to make. I was like, no, I'm just going to buy like a half acre. I'm just going to have like a hammock and that's just where I'm going to go. And everyone was like, what is wrong with you?
I want a little like an Airstream or like a tiny house on like a big plot of land.
Yes.
A place I can go where everyone leaves me alone.
That is all I wanted.
I'm with you on
that
dream.
That's all I wanted. Yeah. People were like, Amelia, just go camping. Like,
I guess.
Gosh, act like an adult. All right. Back to the story. The couple used $40,000 to open the hotel. Alice was the manager while Frank worked as the hotel's operator. The Conley Inn opened its doors July 1891, and as the proprietors had hoped, it soon became one of the finest and most successful destinations in the region, and remained so until the couple passed away in 1910. That I found interesting. I couldn't figure out how this couple passed away.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
But
did they die?
I don't know.
They both died.
Apparently, I saw it on everywhere said they died in 1910. Nowhere gave any description. No one said one passed before the other. It just said they passed away in 1910. And then it was taken over by their niece.
Interesting.
Very interesting. And it was run into the family business for a very long time. So it stayed with the Connollys until March 1st, 1956. And then that's when it became the Yankee Peddler Inn. It got that name. And it was combined with a restaurant called Boogies.
Okay.
Silly name. So over the decades, there have been various stories about all the mysterious figures and random odd voices going on inside the hotel. One popular story is that the spirit of its founder, Alice Conley, rumored to have died in room 353. I don't know why I just said it like that. Also known as 353. Still roams the halls of her dream hotel, checking on guests to make sure that their stays are pleasant. Apparitions and strange smells have been reported in room 353. And Alice's favorite rocking chair in the hotel lobby has also been witnessed to rock on its own.
Oh.
I grew up
with a ghost in my attic, and like the rocking chair that he used would keep me up every night. So that
gave me
chills. Also, I want to know more about these strange smells because that's very broad.
It's so vague. Yes. And like also they just, apparently she died in this room in the hotel. Again, like why does no one have any details on these deaths? It's kind of weird, right?
It is kind of weird.
Like 1910, it's a long time ago, but like is it really for like the people who owned one of the most prominent destinations?
Right.
That would have made a paper.
Somebody had to have written it down somewhere.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's creepy. Okay, so room 295 has also reportedly been a location with unusual activity, including weird smells. Yes. And
it freaks me out.
It's not going to freak you out as much as this next one. People often feel invisible forces getting into bed with them.
Oh, there it is again.
Yeah.
No, that's not allowed.
Snuggling on up.
No way.
And they often see the spirit of a woman Just kind of hanging out in the room.
Yeah, just floating on by.
Hanging out.
She's just making sure you're enjoying your stay.
Just waiting for that breakfast. Okay, there's also the ghost of a gray-haired gentleman in a black suit who hangs out in the hallway.
That gives me the creeps, too. Ghosts in black suits.
Very, very creepy, yeah. And that's supposed to be Frank Conley, the other original owner of the hotel, and he is often seen in the hallways, in the pub, and using the old phone.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
I know. How old are phones?
Seen in the pub.
Can I ask a stupid question? Like, how long have phones been around?
When was the phone invented? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Like, I don't even have a guess.
1910? Were there phones?
I don't know.
Someone write in and let me know. That doesn't sound, I don't know. I feel like I'm about to sound really stupid, but.
You can cut this part out if it's that stupid. I don't know when phones were invented.
I couldn't even give you like a guess.
Maybe he uses it because he's like, what is this crazy contraption?
Maybe that could very well be it. I don't know. Okay. So the other paranormal type events that have been reported include lights going on and off on their own accord, doors opening and closing. Employees and guests have also told of being pushed or tugged by invisible forces, while others have reported experiencing unusually heightened emotions and disturbing dreams.
I could see that.
Is that like a real thing?
Yeah. Heightened emotions, for sure.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I don't know the dream thing, though. I've been having crazy dreams the last 2 weeks.
So I don't even remember my dreams, like, ever.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh, I've been having...
I have insomnia, so I usually take something. To help me sleep.
It just knocks you right out.
So, yeah. So I don't remember my dreams. But the heightened emotions is something that I get, like, whenever spirits are around.
Yeah.
So I can see that.
That makes sense.
And different – it depends on the spirit. Like, they have different emotions. Like, there are certain ones that I work with regularly that, like, make me cry. And spirit energy – it's not, like, a sad cry. It's just, like, that's the way the energy, like, flows through. Like, it makes me feel like crying. And most spirits, like spirits I don't know, you know, not my own family or whatever, if I'm doing like a group reading or something like that, it feels a lot like anxiety. So my heart starts to race and...
That makes sense.
I get anxious.
When I go into a house that's haunted, I get like super lightheaded.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a cat on my chest and I usually start to go cross-eyed.
Really?
But I don't get like super emotional. I just get like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like...
I think it depends on the spirit. So this one, for whatever reason, maybe she was emotional in life.
I don't know. It's making people have bad dreams.
That I wouldn't like so much.
No. Oh, well. So there have also been various incidents in the hotel over the decades. No significant tragedies have ever been reported happening here, though.
Okay. So their mutual death in 1910 was not a significant tragedy.
I know.
Then. Maybe it was like The Notebook.
Maybe.
Just very romantic.
That'd be really sweet. I don't know. Yeah. So they say there hasn't been anything. And the Northwest Connecticut Paranormal Society captured a spirit orb photo there and claimed to have had additional weird experiences. But then I read on a different website that the Northwest Connecticut Paranormal Society didn't find anything there.
Oh, goodness.
So what's the deal with that?
I don't know. You should write to them. If you're listening, Northwest, what's it called?
Northwest Connecticut Paranormal Society. Right on in.
Let us know.
Ghost hunting in New England at gmail.com.
Send the pics.
So in 2008, horror film director Ty West stayed in the inn while filming The House of the Devil.
Wow, really?
Yes. People love making ghost movies of Connecticut.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they love it. So after talking to the hotel staff and hearing some of the ghost stories, he was inspired to make a movie revolving around the hotel. Thus came The Innkeepers, a very popular horror film released in February 2012.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
I have not seen it either. I've
heard of
it. Down.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
I'm
going to
put it on my Netflix.
There we go.
Because I'm one of like three people on the planet that still get red envelopes.
You do?
I really do. My husband and I, we each have our own list and we each get.
I didn't think that was still a thing.
It's still a thing.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Even my mailman is like, you know, you're the last people in the world that do this. Like, yes, I know. It's fine. Yep.
Getting shade from the mailman.
Yeah, yeah. I love our mailman. He's very nice.
Oh, gosh. So in addition to using the inn's actual name in the film, the lines between reality and fiction are also further confused as the production company has set up a clever viral site pretending to be a paranormal investigation portal.
What?
I know, it's so silly.
That's a good, like, marketing technique, I guess.
Yeah, but like, oh gosh. Chronicling the inn's supposed bloody history, which
we just read. Isn't there true is none. At all.
So, and now there really isn't anything because it actually closed December 2015. For extensive renovations, which were supposed to take 7 to 9 months to complete, but subsequently stalled due to lack of funds. In 2017, the property owner, Jason Hospitality, said the renovations would begin again in the fall and it would be finished up lickety-split, but it didn't, and locals say it's never going to reopen.
Okay.
But it still stands in Torrington today and is still owned by those people, so it could. Or you could break in and see if you can see a ghost.
Okay. Okay. Or that.
Which I support. And I got a lot of this information off of Wikipedia, Freightfind, and DamnedCT.com.
There you go. I want to find, you know, like you see in the movies, you go, it's like a haunted hotel movie, and there's always like some distraught woman that throws herself out a window.
Yes.
But I don't know of any places that that happened. Do you?
No, not hotel. I know down in Rhode Island at the Biltmore, a man threw himself out a window.
Ooh, really?
Yes, and people still see him falling.
Oh, my God. Yes. That gives me the chills. I believe it.
That's a very, very common one. And then I believe in Plymouth, Massachusetts, there's a woman who threw herself off a widow's walk.
Oh.
When she realized her husband wasn't coming home. And yeah. She's a lady in white down there.
Yeah.
And she haunts, I forget what the name of the beach is, like Horse Beach or I don't know. Some beach down in Plymouth.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I know she's there for that, but that's not related because that's not a hotel. I was just thinking about ghosts too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess there've been a lot of them.
Have you seen the Stephen King movie? It was a story. It was like a short story originally. I think it's called 1408. It's got John Cusack.
No.
That one's creepy. You should watch that. You have to go home and watch that. Haunted Hotel movie. You have to go home and watch it tonight.
Okay.
Or soon.
Soon.
Yeah. Homework.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh. That's a good one. It's creepy.
Is it?
And it's not. I think if I remember correctly, I think there's like a touch of based on, like I think it's a real hotel.
Ooh.
That Stephen King has stayed in. It's about an author who goes and stays in haunted hotels.
If it's a Stephen King, it's usually like a little bit of truth.
All of his stories have a little bit.
He's cool. I heard him speak last month.
That's right. I remember that.
That's a law of attraction story right there. Said I was going to go. Yes. Real quick. 2 seconds. You know, I love talking about manifestations.
Yeah.
So I said I was going to, and I said I was going to interview him on the show. And obviously I did not interview him on the show, but I came. Yeah, exactly. I came really freaking close.
Awesome.
So I like put it all out to the universe. I was like, I'm going to do it. It's going to happen. Like literally I said I was going to do it. And then like Beth looked up and she was like, you know, he's talking in Somerville like tomorrow.
Oh my
gosh. And I was like, okay, well, like God wants this to happen. So I'm going to make it happen. So I did this whole thing. And then this guy I went to high school with like saw my like totally freaking manic posts.
Yeah. Stephen King, come meet us.
Oh, this is before that. This was just like me being like, does anyone know anyone who works in this theater? Like, and I'm like, I know, like, I'm calling up, like, musicians who, like pretty well-known musicians who, for whatever freaking reason, follow me on Instagram, but, like, I've never met them in person. Yeah. I'm, like, now hit, like, stupid me, like, hitting them up, like, hey, have you ever been, like, to this place? And, like, this, like, one comedian who follows me, he's like, yeah, no, why? And I'm just, whatever, it doesn't matter. So this guy I went to high school with, I haven't talked to him in, like, 10 years. He's like, hey, I just did, like, a Facebook search and, like, here are some people selling their tickets. So I reached out to all of them and no one got back to me. And this one woman is up in New Hampshire is like, I'll give my ticket away for free. I just don't want it to go to waste.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And not only that, but like you can take the signed books that I've already paid for. And I was like, oh gosh, I really am like trying to manifest it. And I'm like,
wow, that's so nice.
I know I'm going to be there. And I was totally, I was 100% planning on leaving work and just like staking out the theater and like trying to wait for an accent. And literally an hour before it started, she messaged me and was like, you can have the tickets.
Oh, my God.
And I sat in and the fifth went. Row. I said I sat in the fifth
Did
row.
Did you get to, like, talk to them?
No.
But that's still cool.
But I have signed books.
Yeah. Just that's cool. Awesome. Yeah. I've definitely never been that close to him, so.
It was really cool. He's funny.
Yeah.
Like, insanely funny.
And I like to follow him on, like his Twitter.
Yes.
I like his Twitter.
I like his Twitter, too. But I really like his Facebook. It's a little less political, and I'm like, I can't do politics anymore.
I don't know. Yeah, it's tough out there. I don't know if I follow him on Facebook. I'm going to have to look
it up. It's good. Yeah.
So the plot of 1408 is there's this guy is a novel. Well, they're like travel books that he writes, but he goes to supposedly haunted places and spends the night and then writes about it. And he like has all of these books that he sells. And I think in most of them, he proves them to not really be haunted. Like he debunks it in most of them. And so he goes into it not believing it. And he's like, no, you have to give me the scary room. And they're like, we're not giving you the scary room. Nobody stays in that room. We've shut it off. Like a zillion people have killed themselves in there. You're not going in. And he, of course, insists on it and gets in. And then chaos ensues.
Oh, my gosh. You know,
because it is a movie. It's not a true story. It's a movie. But it's good.
Sounds good.
And the short story is even better. So if you like to read, I would recommend reading that even before you watch the movie.
I don't like to read, but I can start. I want to read.
Recommendation.
Yeah. Maybe it's on Audible.
Yeah, it probably is.
Nice. I like Audible.
I personally like prefer his short stories too because I feel like he can be kind of wordy sometimes. As much as I love him, like I just don't have time. I just don't have time.
Totally agree.
So his short stories are good because we get right to the point.
Bam.
Right to the scare.
There we go.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I guess that's all we got on haunted hotels.
Yeah.
But we have some other stuff. So I'm trying to think what we should start with. I guess we should start with EVP.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
So here I have this email from Barry Corbett of the Boston Paranormal Investigators. He is their lead investigator and great friend of the show. Hi, Amelia. That was a great episode. I learned more about the family history. Fairbanks is one of my favorite places. This EVP, otherwise known as electrical voice phenomena, is not super clear, but it's definitely a voice, and I know it was not one of us. We were doing an Estes Method session with a spirit box in the second floor bedroom. It's the same room where the other team saw the graphic of the baby using the Kinect SLS camera. We also got some high EMF in the same cradle. Kim was wearing noise-canceling headphones while we asked questions that she could not hear. She had some interesting replies. The whisper is right near the end after Sarah asked them a question. Barry.
All right, here we go.
What do you want me to listen to? What should we listen to? Oh my
God. It sounded like it said, oh my God.
Yeah. Let's play it one more time. And this time I'm going to edit it. The part it says we're going to edit a little louder.
What do you want me to listen to? What should we listen to?
Oh my God. It totally says, oh my God.
That's so creepy.
I love it.
That's very weird.
Yeah. It says, oh my God.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Barry. That was awesome and great.
The ghost is like, oh my God, get out of here. Don't investigate me. Just living my ghosty life.
Okie dokie. Now we have drive-by ghostings. The first comes from my favorite listener, Gabe. Some of you might remember Gabe from the fascinating story of Big Boot that we heard in October. And he writes, hello, Amelia. It's me, Gabe, back again with a brand new story for you.
He's so cute.
He's the best. It all started out at my house. I was climbing into bed when, unusually, I fell asleep and woke up in the blink of an eye, literally. But it went from 8 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. When I woke up, I don't know if it was a dream, but I saw on my bedroom door dry erase board and angry and cartoony eyes, nose, and mouth. I will send you a picture of it. Since I was woozy from waking up, I laid down and stared at the ceiling. But when I looked back, the face was gone. It freaked me out. Thanks for listening. Smiley face. Well, thank you so much, Gabe. I believe Gabe is 11 years old. He is a great fan of the show, and I'm so happy to have him here. That's a rendering he gave us.
Oh, for, it is a scary face. That would freak me out if I woke up to that at 2:30 on my whiteboard.
And then all of a sudden it just erased itself?
Yeah.
Like, that's scary stuff, Gabe.
I love that he's, like, into hauntings and likes to listen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You gotta start him really, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll throw that photo up on our social media so everyone can go see it, give it a like, and let Gabe know, because I emailed him back. I was like, you know, maybe some of our listeners have seen something similar. I don't know. So you got to go and you got to give him some support and let him know what's good and like what's going on. So thanks, Gabe. Always a delight. And you know what that sound clip means? Time for another ghost story from Jen, from Maine, formerly from Massachusetts. So here we go.
Hi, my name is Jen, and this is my story of my haunted dorm room. I went to college at the University of Maine in Orono. This probably took place 1996, 1997, somewhere in there. I had my own dorm room. At first, I started noticing very subtle noises at night when I was laying in bed. My bed frame was this metal bed frame, and I would hear what sounded like something tapping on the metal, and it would move around the perimeter of the bed. It was just me there. And then sometimes I would hear what could only be described as the sound of if someone or something was stepping on top of the desk and the bureau, the sound of pressure on wood, like creaking, but only from the top of the surface of the bureau or desk. And it would move around, sort of move around the room in order, like it was something, it was as if something was walking on the furniture. You know, and I had my best friend spend the night a couple of times, and they would hear it too. I would say, did you hear that? And they'd say, yeah. And I'd say, what did you hear? And they'd describe it. And I'd be like, yeah, that's what I heard. More strange things started happening. Like one day, my boyfriend at the time and I were in the room, and we left to go do something. And I had these big blinds in the window, and they were always down. In fact, I didn't even know that they went up and down. I just knew that they opened. They were those Venetian kind of blinds. And I had only figured out at that point how to open the slats. We left, and the blinds were down and closed, as they almost always were. And we came back about an hour and a half later. And as I was walking up to the front of the building, the window to my room was on the front of the building. And I noticed that the blinds were up, and I thought, well, that's so strange. I didn't know they could do that. And I came into my room and they were up, and I walked down to the RA and I asked her, you know, was anyone in my room while I was gone, because it was locked? And she said, no. And in fact, if anyone needed to get in there, maintenance or anything like that, they would need to go to her to get a key to get in, I guess. And so she would have known if someone had been in there. And so I was totally freaked out by that. Strange things would go missing out of my room. Shampoo would just vanish. And I know that it could very well have been that I forgot it in the bathroom, but I didn't forget it. And I know I didn't. And it happened more than once. And so I'm not a forgetful person by nature. And I know that once it vanished one time, I was then, of course, making sure that I always had it in the shower caddy when I left the bathroom, because I had the other one had disappeared. So I was extra vigilant about it. And then it disappeared again from my room. And then one night, I was sitting on the edge of my bed. I was on the phone with my boyfriend at the time. So I was sitting with my feet dangling off the edge of the bed, like on the basically touching the floor. And I had this big, heavy down comforter with a duvet on it as my blanket. And it was, and my bed was made, and the end of the blanket was hanging down over the foot of the bed where I was sitting. So it was almost touching the floor. I'm sitting there, and out of the corner of my eye, I see movement, and all the lights were on in my room. It was, you know, bright. And I see movement, and I look over, and the corner of my blanket lifts up off of the floor and folds up over the top of the bed and then goes back down. Just calmly, slowly, steadily, I watched it go up, and then I watched it go back down, and I just was stunned. I couldn't believe what I had just seen. Yeah, and that's it. That's all that ever happened. Nothing ever happened after that. I lived in that room for another year and a half or 2 years. And I never had any other experiences like that. It was very strange. And I still don't understand really what happened. But that's my haunted dorm room story. So thanks for listening. And I hope you liked it.
Good story, Jen. I liked that one a lot. That was awesome.
Creepy.
Really creepy. Good haunted dorm.
I wonder if there's any like urban legends or anything about the dorm, if there's any history there.
So I dated this guy for like 5 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, he's the reason why I'm 30 and not married. Thank you so much. You know, well, that's not the point. The point is he went to, he went to UMaine at Orono, and he had a haunted dorm.
Wow.
He had a haunted dorm there. And then him and like a bunch of his friends moved into some like ski house or something like nearby. I don't know. I don't really know the details. I showed up like 2 years after this, but he said that was haunted too.
Wow. Well, maybe it's him. Like when I was growing up, I just thought that everywhere that I lived was haunted. And it didn't occur to me until much later that like it's because I could see and hear ghosts. Like, whenever I want to.
It could be part of that. Yeah.
He lived in multiple haunted houses.
That is very possible. He was kind of a spooky guy. He was really funny because he was like a big tough guy. You know what I mean? Like Mr. Yeah. Macho. But we'd always like watch scary movies together because like I'm a freak.
Yeah.
And he'd always get like really freaked out because he'd always be like, you can't punch a ghost.
That's true.
That was his line. He'd always be like, well, you can't punch a ghost.
I guess it doesn't matter how big and like tough you are when we're talking about like non-corporeal beings, right?
Oh gosh.
And I feel like every like college or university or dorm has some kind of urban legend. Like,
oh yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah.
What was that one where like if your roommate killed themselves, you got a free ride for the rest of the year? You got like straight A's.
That's like all colleges. Yeah. Your roommate kills yourself, you don't have to pay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think if my college had any.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember. I'm sure.
Cool. I think that's it.
Awesome.
Nice. This was so great, Jamie. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Happy.
You were a great co-host. This was great. I really hope you come back and do this again sometime.
Anytime.
This was fun.
And this makes me want to go to like places and like do readings on them and do investigations.
If you ever want to go together, hit me up.
Let's do it.
Always down.
You let me know. Right. I do private home ones. Like if somebody wants to call me and say, hey, I think my house is haunted or like, can you tell me about the spirits in my house? I do that. So I go and I like get a reading on the person's energy and the energy of the house. And then I type up a whole list of like the energy that I picked up as well as like recommendations on how to help you with it. But I've never done like, this place is haunted. Let's see what they're, you know what I mean? I haven't done, I mean, like for fun, I guess I've looked into it, but
it's a lot of fun and we should do it.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. And if people want to get in contact with you to have you come to their private home, or to get a mediumship reading from you, how can they get in contact with you?
Thanks for asking. So my website is mediumjamieday.com, and I spell my name J-A-M-I-E, and day is just like the word D-A-Y. That's also my Instagram and my Facebook, and those are really good ways to get in touch with me. mediumjamieday@gmail.com. And my phone number is on my website and stuff too, so you can check it out.
Sweet. And if you follow Ghostly New England social media, we always link over to Jamie so you can find her really, really easily.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And let me know if this is where you heard of me.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. Please do. And same for anyone who's ever on the show. Tell them you heard about them through this show. Because I know people who listen to the show who have contacted Abigail Dalton and did not tell her
Is,
and I'm like, no, please, you have to tell people, like, this is where you heard
I've had a couple of people that have reached out to me and said that they heard of me
good.
On the podcast.
Good. So. That makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Thank you again.
Cool.
This is great.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you to Aaron Schild for doing our music at the beginning of the show. You can reach him on Instagram at TheAaronSchild. You can find me on Instagram at Ghost Hunting in New England, on Twitter, Ghost Hunting NE, Facebook.com/Ghost Hunting in New England. You can send a carrier pigeon to beautiful, sunny Somerville, Massachusetts, care of the Somerville Media Center. Or you can send an email to ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. I would like to apologize, kind of, sort of, to everyone, because I know I've been saying for weeks I'm going to update the website, and I finally started updating the website, but I did not realize when I update the website, every time I post, it emails everyone on our list and then post to all the social media. So I've been trying to keep it to under 4 a day updates. But the next couple of days, because I'm like, your first episode with us was the last episode I put on the website.
Oh.
So we're like 16 episodes behind. So it's like every day I'm trying to like get a few out. But so just bear with me. Like, don't unfollow us on Facebook or Twitter. Like, just hang with it. It's going to be fine.
Click it and go through and listen.
Yeah, it's a good, click yeah. it. You can read it. And
if there's one you've missed, it's a good chance to catch up.
Or maybe one you remember and you're like, oh, I loved that episode so much. I need to re-listen to it and send it to everyone I know.
Yeah, like mine.
Yeah. Like multiple from Jamie's. Yeah. And also, so next week I have such a cool, oh my God, I'm so excited for this episode. I can't even start to describe how excited I am. The first author we've ever had is mm-hmm. coming on the show. Yes. So David Rye, he's a I'm so bad at this. I believe it's called Numismaticus. I don't know. He studies
numismatist.
That sounds right. Ancient coins.
Yeah, numismatist.
You're way better than me. Yeah. He studies ancient coins, and he wrote an entire book about relating these ancient coins he found and collected. He's a collector. He's a fascinating gentleman. So he has all these ancient coins, and he collected them, and he researched them, and it like goes back to like uncode like secret locks of Christianity and it's fascinating. And like, he's also like an astrologer and a palmist, and he is pretty well off. So he's traveled around the world with all these other great historians and collectors and archaeologists and all this other stuff to go through. And they've actually pinpointed different like times in the Bible where it says where it says the star was here and there, and they were able to look through it, and they were actually able to pinpoint the exact year like Jesus would have been born based on what it said in these ancient texts they found from the Bible. And I think he's going to explain it on the show next week, but I think it's like 6 BC. So it's like 6 years
before what they think.
Right.
That's crazy.
And they don't really know. It's just a ballpark. But it's, and so he has Jesus's birth chart in the book.
Oh my God.
I know, right?
Like his natal chart, I would love to see that.
And what's it called? I always get this word wrong, like a solarium or a stellium? Stellium.
Stellium.
Yeah. He has a stellium in Taurus.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is cool. And I saw it and I was like, he has a stellium in Taurus. That's wild. I wouldn't expect that from Christ. And I was like, I have a stellium in Leo. And he was like, good thing you have a podcast. And I was like, yes.
Can I put in a request for a question?
Yes.
I want to know, okay, so like psychic and medium inclined people. Mm-hmm. There's this thing called telemetry. I think that's it, telemetry. It's when you like touch an object and you can get kind of a reading off the object.
Yeah.
And metal is something that really carries a lot of energy. Yes. And so they say that, especially when you're first starting out with that, metal is a really good conductor, like hold someone's keys or a metal object.
Yeah.
So ask him if he gets stuff when he holds the coins.
I'll ask him. You wanna hear something kind of related to that he has?
Yeah.
Sure, it's pretty cool. It's like the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Give it to me. I wanna
know.
He
has a witch's ring from the first century AD.
What?
That has been professionally scanned and still contains original matter from the witch who it was buried with.
Shut your mouth. That's crazy.
Insane. Yes.
Does he like wear it?
No.
I would think that would have to be locked up nice and tight.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. You couldn't, I mean, I feel like you couldn't, and nobody could wear it because like it would ruin.
I saw like a photo of it he showed me, and it's like not like a complete ring at this point. Like it's kind of like broken off a little.
Like,
but it's wild. I mean, this collection is intense.
Wow.
And it was all, he like, he's going to talk to, I'm like giving away the whole show next week.
Sorry, I'm overly excited.
Me too. I'm like, I couldn't believe this. So what happened is his wife left his business card on the corkboard at my cafe. And I just saw it and I was like, oh, like a palmist. That's cool. I'll call him about the show. And like, it is like
so much more.
So much more. And he looked at my palm briefly and was like, you worry too much. And I was like, you're good.
Yeah.
So I can't wait. So I hope everyone looks forward to that. And again, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I hope everyone is enjoying time with family. If you're not enjoying time with family, you know, it's a good time to binge Ghost Hunting in New England.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a lull at the conversation on the dinner table? You want to not talk about politics anymore? Be like, I heard this new podcast about ghosts.
Just play it. Just play it. And then no one will talk because we'll all be listening.
There you go. There you go.
If the discussion turns to politics.
Just bam.
Let's just ghost hunting in New England
some
on.
Some spooky stories. And I would also like to give a quick shout out to my mailman's sister who told him all about our show and that he should listen. And it really made my day last week when I found out about that.
That's so funny.
It is so funny. It made me really happy.
Shout out to mailman and sister.
Yeah. So thank you. Thanks. And everyone needs to tell their people about this so that way that can happen more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I'm trying to get on a few TV shows. So if we could like up our numbers, so that way they're like, we'll put you on Netflix. That would be a good idea.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I applied to that haunted thing that you posted.
Did you use my thing?
I did.
Nice. So now if you get on it, I get $100.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that. They don't tell you that until after.
No.
But I would have done it anyway because I like you, Amelia.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
And if I get on it, Barry Corbett gets $100.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah.
For Barry.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Okay, so yeah, that's it. And I guess I already had contact info. So tip your barista and as always, happy hunting.